Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. What's up with this Johnson & Johnson vaccine? It's been paused in Connecticut, the entire U.S., and Europe. Why not the whole world?
Why not?
I hope it's not like the Super Bowl t-shirts that have the losing team printed as champs. Like, okay, well, these are good enough for these other countries.
Right, yeah, we'll just
send it over here.
Right.
The FDA and the CDC announced yesterday that they are investigating reports of blood clots in six women that occurred 6 to 13 days after injection. Dr. Ron Clark, Associate Chief of Emergency Medicine at the Hospital of Central Connecticut New Britain General Campus, is on. What happened, brother?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hello.
What's going on with the Johnson & Johnson deal?
So this is obviously a problem, and it's definitely an issue as far as our vaccination efforts to get everyone vaccinated for COVID. So basically, there were six young women between the ages of 18 and 48 that experienced blood clot. And the type of blood clot that they actually had is something called a cerebral venous sinus thrombosis, which is a very rare blood clot. And the people that were getting these blood clots, there were six of them out of, I think, 6.8 million vaccinations done in the U.S., so it's very rare, also had low platelets. So whenever you see during a clinical trial or during the administration of a medication, strange things like this, which is something that's not normally seen in a population, they did the right thing to halt the vaccinations for now. I know that today the CDC advisory panel is going to be reviewing these cases along with the FDA to figure out how we're going to go forward and what we're going to do going forward to vaccinate people.
The six cases all came out around the same time. Is that one batch? Are they all in one area of the country?
That's what I'm saying. I'm not sure exactly. I don't think it's publicly disclosed where the six patients came from at this point.
Because was that shipment in Baltimore. It was like a zillion of them that they had to toss, remember?
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. And again, it is an issue. And again, it's important that we do vaccinate people, but we have to vaccinate people safely. I think that as far as what caused it, the likely scenarios are one of two things. Either they're basically right now we're indiscriminately vaccinating everyone because we think it's so important to vaccinate people for COVID that some of the people who are vaccinated may actually have COVID while they're being vaccinated or may recently have had COVID.
Would that give them blood clots?
Correct. That is one of the prevailing theories that those people's blood vessels and lining called the endothelium, the inside of the blood vessels, already have COVID in them and COVID antigen, and now you just gave them a super-duper booster of this vaccine, and that can cause damage to the inside of blood vessels that can lead to clotting. That's one of the prevailing theories. The other theory is that the two vaccines that have caused blood clots so far are J&J in the U.S. and AstraZeneca in Europe. And both of those are use something called a modified adenovirus delivery system. Basically, fancy thing for saying they use a virus to deliver the vaccine called adenovirus, whereas the Pfizer and the Moderna are mRNA. And right now, they're not associated with the blood clotting. So if it's the first thing that I said, that we're just vaccinating everyone, that some of those people have COVID or recently had COVID, then maybe in the future they'll be noticing the same thing with the Pfizer and Moderna vaccine. If it's something wrong or something that's a cause from the adenovirus, that's specific for the AstraZeneca one that caused clots and the J&J. And we're not sure which one it is, but it's likely one of those two things.
You know, when I was in school and we had that day where we were learning find the percentage, I thought, I'll never need this.
Right.
All right. So 6.8 million vaccinations, six cases.
Six cases.
So that'd be like 0.00000.
Right. I don't even know.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of zeros. And that's why, you know, whenever something like this happens, they did the right thing to halt it, to see what those young women had. Because remember, it was all young women between the ages of 18 and 48. So going forward, the CDC and the FDA will make recommendations of who can get the vaccine. And a couple of those things may be that you might have to screen people for antibodies. You can test something called COVID nucleocapsid antibodies, which are only seen in people who are naturally infected with COVID. So there's an antibody screen that you can do as one possibility to screen people to make sure that they weren't already infected with COVID, and that puts them at a higher risk. The other possibility is you just give it to men, say, above 55 years old, to women, because it was only women between 18 and 48 that experienced the clotting.
So it's going to be tough, right, for them to be trusted now.
Oh, yeah. No one's going to trust them.
After all of the news.
Yep.
Correct. And again, the one nice thing about the J&J is it's a one-shot vaccine. A lot of the ERs, including mine, were just starting to vaccinate people. In a population where I work, you know, you're there for, I don't know, a sprained ankle or a cellulitis, a skin infection or something. We would offer for the appropriate population the J&J vaccine for the last few days until it got halted. And again, the one nice thing about J&J is just one vaccine, so I don't have to have them come back to the ER or back to the vaccination center. Also, the J&J vaccine is easier to transport. So for countries that don't have the ability that we have in the U.S. and Europe, it was the hope that those countries would be able to get this vaccine because it's easier to transport around the country.
And with those countries, they're used to, you know, a big chance of death. They'll be like, fine, bring it.
Exactly, yeah. Just bring it in there and try. But again, you know, I told Chaz yesterday that, the first thing in medicine is this primum non nocere, which means first do no harm, right? You don't want a treatment that's worse than the illness. So in this case, especially, there was one of those six people died from the blood clot, that it is definitely an issue. But right, six out of 6.8 million. And again, every medicine, including vaccinations, is going to have side effects. There's going to be, you know, things that happen because you're putting something foreign into someone's body. But I do think that
this is what happens. This is why it takes years to approve a drug, because they have to do the numbers
and
figure out figure out the problems.
Right. Exactly. But definitely the benefit of getting vaccinated is greater than the risk for the majority of people. Remember, six out of 6.8 million.
Oh, no doubt.
Yep. It's a legitimately one in a million chance.
It's a legitimately one in a million chance. Exactly. It's good math there.
This justifies folks being hesitant. So anyone who was on the fence or saying, I'm not getting vaccinated, no way are they getting vaccinated.
This just sealed it.
The folks that got vaccinated with Johnson & Johnson, should they be worried?
It looked like that, probably not, in the sense that most of those...
If they're beyond the 13-day?
Correct, because it was only in that short window, you know, from basically the 6 to 13 days. So right now, if you got vaccinated a month ago I wouldn't worry about it. And again, for those people that did get it, it is definitely an issue. But again, this is going to happen with any medication, that they're going to find some side effects and some things that they didn't expect. This is definitely one of them. You know, the fact that you get these clots that are in the cerebral venous sinus, which is is in the brain, and then you get low platelets. The other interesting thing is the way you treat those people, if we do start seeing more, is usually for blood clots, I use something called heparin. And actually, heparin in this case makes it worse. So there's a lot that needs to be figured out from the patient side and the physician side and the treating side to make sure that we're providing the right care. But again, it's an exceedingly rare complication. But the CDC and the FDA did the right thing to halt until they can figure this out.
I think you've said more big words in the last 11 minutes than I have in my entire life.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, thank you, Doc. Appreciate it. We got to get you back to talk about a couple other things. Dr. Ron Clark, if you haven't gotten his book yet, Surviving the ER, do it.
Please.
Thank you. Dr. Ron Clark, Associate Chief of Emergency Medicine at the Hospital of Central Connecticut, New Britain General Campus. Everything with him is lots of words, and big words, and lots of syllables.
He's so smart.
How does he know all this stuff? He walks. How does his brain fit all of that?
It's one thing to but to say it, just like, I know these words.
I say this every day.
I know these words.
Right. It's like me saying beer, pizza, like very simple words.
Use them every day.
He said words I never used once.
Yes. No, but
they weren't even the big words.
I was thinking about him, you know, like if I went to med school and I encountered one of those words, I would say, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
I have to go. Nah. Thank you.
You think when
bye-bye.
He goes to sleep and he lays down, like his head just hums.
But you could also talk to him about football.
Yeah. Right.
Microbrewing.
Right. Pull my finger.
Anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
All around guy.
It's a treat to know him.
Absolutely.
And that was good info.
Very good guy.
Last week, we were talking about the perfect movie, and we ran through a list. What about the movies that were just almost there? If they didn't do that one, or if they just added the wood, they'd be perfect.
Right.
Joe Myers, our movie guy, is on. Joe, what do you think?
Good morning. You know, it was interesting, and I got a lot of feedback last week. And, you know, I went on Metacritic. They had the 8 movies that scored a perfect 100. And just, you know, I went on there to see what scored 99 on the Metacritic, you know, aggregating site. And there were 6 movies: Singing in the Rain, City Lights, the Chaplin film, Moonlight, the film that won the Best Picture a couple of years ago, Intolerance, a silent film from 1916,
wow.
Pinocchio, the Disney cartoon, and Touch of Evil, the Orson Welles thriller from the 50s. Very eclectic bunch, huh. Not ones that I think I would necessarily pick for my almost perfect.
Doesn't appear almost perfect.
So Pinocchio, I'll agree with that one.
Yeah, Pinocchio is really good. Singing in the Rain, a lot of people think Singing in the Rain is one of the best musicals produced in Hollywood, you know, and it's a fun movie. That's the one with Gene Kelly and Donald O'Connor.
Why does that make every list? I see one scene from it. I'm like, I am out.
Yeah, I'm good. There's
a guy dancing around. All right, I get it.
Yeah.
You're singing in the rain.
And you can dance.
And it's a glorious feeling.
All right, great.
You're happy again.
Yeah,
great.
You know, it's also people who love movies because it's about the time in Hollywood when they went from silent movies to talkies. You know, it's sort of a comedy about that. And there's an actress played by Jean Hagen who has a terrible voice. So she has to be dubbed, you know, so it gets into all of that history of what went on in Hollywood when they transitioned from silent to sound. So a lot of people love that kind of nostalgic stuff. And it has some great tunes.
Yeah, okay. I'm out. Yeah.
I just know that one song.
Yeah, I think just seeing that one
scene, they show that,
that's all you need.
Yes, yeah. They show that. That's probably one of the most shown clips next to, like, the Psycho shower sequence. You know, that's shown all the time, him dancing in the street in the rain.
He has an umbrella.
Yeah.
Yes,
and I'm waiting for a bolt of lightning. Boom.
Right.
This is why you don't sing in the rain with an umbrella.
Yeah, you usually get pulled in for a public nuisance.
Yes.
I picture just a pair of shoes.
Right.
With smoke coming out.
Right. Pair of loafers. I'm singing in the zot.
Yeah.
What a. Wow. You're doing real good.
Mm.
Yep. Look at that.
All
right.
Goodfellas?
Well, I came up with 5, that Ashley suggested of almost perfect. And, you know, again, they would be 99 and a half, maybe. I have Dr. Strangelove,
Let's just start with Goodfellas. Why would that be on almost perfect? Why not perfect?
Well, if you gave me a perfect 6 or 7 last week, that might have been on. The thing there is The Godfather, I think, is the greatest gangster movie ever made, Godfather 1 and 2, and it's perfect. Goodfellas, I would place slightly under that. So
what made it less perfect or less than perfect?
Well, what made it less than perfect? Well, The Godfather has a scope in terms of the time period it covers, the American history it covers. Goodfellas is really the experience of one guy who gets sucked into the mob by its glamour, you know, and lives to regret that because of the way his life falls apart. Really good movie, and a movie I've watched a million times. So
what is imperfect about that movie?
Having Ray Liotta for Henry Hill.
No, he was great.
Oh, no, he was great, but you see real Henry Hill?
The only thing that felt weird is when, at the end in the courtroom scene, when he gets out of the stand and starts talking to the camera.
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought that was a little weird.
Yeah.
Ballsy to try that.
Right.
I mean, The Goodfellas is still the great movie.
Awesome
but
movie.
But that's the only part I could think that.
It's a great movie. It's a great movie.
No, quotes.
And I would say it's Scorsese's best film. You know, it's the one of his that I've watched the most, you know. And what's great about Goodfellas, say, as opposed to Taxi Driver, is Goodfellas has a lot of humor in the first hour or so when he's really liking being in the mob, yeah. You know. And that scene at the table where Pesci and him get into it, you
How
know,
funny.
Over what's funny, you yeah. know, is a classic scene. Although, you know, a lot of people who do continuity would say what makes that less than perfect. If you watch that scene again, they cut back and forth from Ray Liotta to Joe Pesci. The table of drinks changes each time they change the camera.
Oh. Really?
Oh. That's great.
There was a lot of drinks on that table, too.
Okay, yeah. There's your argument.
I've heard that it's because Joe Pesci went off script there and just started doing this.
Yes. Yes, but you know, I never noticed it until a friend pointed it out. I get so caught up in them and them talking about it, and now every time I watch the movie, I see that cocktail table changing with each shot.
And that's all you see now.
Yeah,
that's all I see now.
That's like the scene in Pretty Woman, where Julia Roberts is having breakfast with Richard Gere, and
yes,
and you see a pancake, and then she's eating a waffle, and then you pan back, she's eating a pancake again, yes.
And then she says, yes. "How am I funny? Yes. Then, how am I funny?"
And then she's got a fish on her plate,
right,
and a pizza,
yeah. How am I hungry?
And a grilled cheese.
Come on, no, you're a big boy. How am I hungry?
The other thing you see a lot is the length of the cigarettes people are smoking. They never get that quite right in continuity, too. And you can get hung up on that, which is really sort of a pain. Right. I hate that stuff.
All right. There's the argument that I can say. All right. That's a solid argument.
Might have been perfect except for this part.
Yeah.
Right, the amount of drinks and the cigarettes.
That scene, though, and Scorsese worked on this in his first movie with De Niro. What was it, New York?
Mean Streets. Yeah.
That walk through the kitchen, that one shot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a classic. That's a classic. You know, where they go to the Copa and they get that ringside table. Yeah, that's an amazing
shot. Yeah, they go from
the
street down the steps.
It's like a perfect mini movie within a movie.
Yeah.
Because she thinks they're going to have to stand in line, and that's where he really shows her he's got clout.
Yeah. Yeah.
They put a table out front for him.
They set it up right there.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
And right there, Jerry Vale is singing to them. You know, it's incredible the way that shot ends.
Yeah, if that impressed her, you know, we can do.
All right, I can't believe that.
I wonder how many times they had to shoot that to get it perfect. Because, you know, the problem with a long shot like that is if anything goes wrong, you have to go all the way back to the beginning and do it all over again.
The cameraman
trips.
Don't
want to be that guy.
Right.
They did a shot like that in Birdman.
You don't.
And I just kept thinking, imagine being
person
who flubs a line. Like, you get almost all the way there, then you flub a line.
Or forget it.
Like
you
a car
your line.
Drives by all of a sudden. Damn it! Damn it!
Son of a... All right, back to the beginning!
Phil, can you Google
that's
that?
Why...
So your list of almost perfect movies, Goodfellas.
Yes.
We talked about that scene where it's one shot from the street through the place out to the dance floor.
The long
table
shot,
comes down. Phil looked it up.
Yeah, so the camera operator for that scene said they did do multiple takes. Some of that was just getting actors into position, making sure that everybody was hitting their mark. But the hardest part of that shot that he said was the lighting. So, Joe, you'll know, but like when you're outside and then you go inside to a bright kitchen, then immediately to a dark hallway and then to another dimly lit, you know, stage area.
Nightmare.
That's a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
That's
so
a
getting
nightmare.
The lighting exactly right was the biggest detail that they had to get right.
Every time I saw that shot and was in awe of it and just watched it from the technical and not from the, you know, viewer perspective, it never occurred to me. That
the different lighting,
right?
Yeah.
So it was so flawless. You don't say, "Ooh, like the screen just singes out white for a second."
Right. The fact you noticed showed how well it was done.
Yes.
You know, it became kind of a game with young directors to have the longest shot. You know, the movie that was on the Metacritic almost perfect list, Touch of Evil, the Orson Welles picture, opens with one continuous take that lasts about 5 minutes with Charlton Heston. And so Scorsese, Brian De Palma, Robert Altman, they all vowed to do longer continuous shots. There's a great, I mean, it's a terrible movie, but at the beginning of Bonfire of the Vanities, Brian De Palma does a shot, a continuous shot at the World Trade Center, the that must last 8 minutes. And Robert Altman at the beginning of the player does sort of this funny thing where screenwriters are talking about the longest shots in the history of movies while they're in one of the longest shots in the history of movies.
That's great.
It's a real game. Yeah, it's great. It's fun. It's so much fun to watch them do that kind of stuff. And it is, you know, studios hate that because it's easier to edit, you know, and save a scene by using different shots and different takes. But some of those single shot things, you know, they do it for 2 or 3 days before they get it right.
It's definitely a show-offy type of deal.
It's a show-offy movie buff thing. Yeah.
And studios are banks. They're loaning you money. They're not there to, you know.
Yep.
You get money from a bank to buy a house. They're not going to be like, wow, you put all the best cabinets in this house, even though it's in a bad neighborhood, you know?
They
want you to be consistent with the money that they're giving you.
Absolutely.
Wow. Was there Oscar news this week?
Well, I guess the news is that they're vowing that they're going to have it all in person. You know, Steven Soderbergh, the director, is producing the show, and he is determined that every nominee is going to be at Union Station in downtown L.A. for a live in-person broadcast, because all of these Zoom things, you know, like Screen Actors Guild and Golden Globes, have had terrible ratings. But
they were bad.
The problem is there are nominees who are overseas who don't want to fly into Los Angeles, you know, and be quarantined for a while in order to do this show. So they're pushing for Zoom, you know, from England and various locations around the world. So we'll see if they are able to convince Soderbergh to have some Zooms. But I would say at this point, the ratings for that show are not going to be very good.
What do you do to reinvent that show? Because people don't want to see this anymore. You get enough of these... You could see celebrities anytime you want now.
Yep, it's true. In the old days, when I was a kid, that was the only time each year where you saw all those movie people on television.
Live, off script.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were either on a talk show with Johnny Carson or whatever, Merv Griffin, Letterman.
Right.
Yeah.
This year, we do it on trampolines. Yeah,
it was exciting, you know, and the whole family gathered to watch it every year. I know my family did, you know, and it was a kick.
I know people who would, like, get dressed up and have champagne.
Yes, we do know someone like that.
Yeah. We didn't go that far.
Wait, Ashley's just shaking her head. You would do that?
No, I haven't done it, but I know girlfriends that did do it.
Yeah.
It's an excuse to, like, I don't know, put on a gown and... get drunk.
Right.
Yeah, have an Oscar party, like a Super Bowl party.
And what's wrong with that? Yeah.
So, hey, whatever floats your boat.
All right, the Tina Turner thing. Did you see that yet?
I did. It's on HBO Max. It's a really good overview, you know, of the career of one of the great, you know, singer performers, you know. And you kind of forget that she, you know, had her whole spell with Ike Turner and then kind of went out of fashion. And then came back in the 80s as a solo artist, you know, bigger than ever.
Right.
You know, she had like two separate careers in pop music, which is really unusual.
Is it worth watching?
It sure is. Ah. You know, a lot of great footage, great life, you know, and you know, her getting into Buddhism and how that saved her sanity. There's a lot in that movie. It's I think just under 2 hours.
She struggled a lot more than I ever really
understood.
Right, doing that hairstyle, for example.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that hair is a
lot. That can't be easy to do every morning.
You know? I love that hair. Just rolling on the river
day,
with it.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, that's
I am out.
That's a toughie.
Bring on the black t-shirts. All right, Joe Myers, now a major motion picture, is his podcast available everywhere, Spotify.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming out. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Jazz and AJ News.
Really incredible news day yesterday. Right before we got off the air, there was an announcement about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine being paused.
Yep.
And we'll get to that in a second. But then a little bit after 12, there were shots fired, many, many shots fired, heavy fire at times, police SWAT teams and armored vehicles, and a standoff that lasted over 6 hours in Brantford, where AJ is supposed to be right now.
Yep.
So AJ was going to start at Premier Subaru And so we want to thank them for hosting us there.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I believe wrote out a big donation check as well.
Awesome.
AJ was going to be in a dinosaur costume walking through Brantford, all of the great spots in Brantford. Such a beautiful place.
Yep.
And he's going to be stopping at the Green and having lunch with Seth, who's a four-year-old.
Looking forward to that.
Person, a little guy who's been through so many medical situations, close to death many times, has a wish, make a wish, to go camping with his parents. And so we're thinking, well, we'll raise 10 grand. We'll have an AJ walk through the Brantford. And it's Wednesday at 8, you know, 8:20. We get word that, well, we got the 10 grand. So Carol, Seth's mom, is on. Did you hear already that we hit the goal?
Hi, guys. Morning.
Good morning.
Lots of emotions this morning. Tears. I just can't believe we're above goal. It's just amazing of all the good people out there and responding to Seth's story. I'm so honored.
I have to tell you, what a story. And when
beautiful.
You, after you were on yesterday at 7, the phones and the emails just lit up. Like, how do I do it? How do I do it? How do I donate? So when that site went up yesterday, it was very active. And
it just blew up. Amazing.
Yeah. And there's still money going in. Now, we're going to take the sites down because we asked people to donate for Seth specifically. And so we didn't want to raise a bunch of money and have some of it go somewhere else. We could do that another time. We wanted to keep our promise and say, this is money for Seth, and so it's going for Seth.
Gotcha.
Can you give us a 30 or 60-second version of what happened with Seth for folks who missed your story yesterday?
Yes. Seth was born with a rare congenital heart defect known as hypoplastic of the right heart. It's a single ventricle, one pumping chamber. And the aorta wasn't developed correctly, and having this defect led to 3 open heart surgeries to correct this defect for him to live a long life. And one was at 5 days old, second was at 4 to 5 months old, and then the third one was last year when he turned 3, right before the pandemic in March. He had his last surgery called Fontan. And luckily, we were able to be discharged the day before Boston shut down, so that worked out well.
Wow.
But he totally got done his surgeries, and during the course of his first surgery, he unfortunately developed bilateral vocal cord paralysis that did lead to a tracheotomy tube inserted to help him breathe. They were thinking that it may never heal, given that generally the nerve can regenerate within 6 months, but if it's not healed by 6 months, chances are it will never recover. So for a long time, we thought Seth will never talk again and possibly even have the traits forever. So at home, we had to take care of him, my husband and I, and rotate shifts for night. We had difficulty with nurse staffing. My mother luckily retired and helped us out with that. But then Seth's vocal cords miraculously came back functioning at 19 months of age. We were able to remove his trach, and he's been talking ever since and eating well, too. That was another thing. They said that he may never eat until he's like 5. Usually these children with heart defects, being intubated multiple times, have trouble eating from the trauma. But Seth, I got him to eat by 12 months of age. That wasn't a problem. But it took some work on my part, definitely. But
it's an amazing
he's
story.
He's just always amazing.
And,
amazing.
And that's the short version. I was glued to every word you said yesterday. It was
tremendous. Thank you.
So where were you when you heard that there was pandemonium in downtown Brantford yesterday?
Oh, my God. It's very surreal because this never happens. My dad's from Brantford. I'm originally from Canada, but my dad said that that never happens, and local people said this never happens. But anywho, I was home when I got the call, and my mom was actually a half a mile from the incident, from the shooting. She was stuck in the traffic. The police had blocked track took off. So she was stuck there an hour, didn't know what was going on at the time. Called me and said she saw 4 or 5 ambulances pull from Walmart, driving down really quickly, cops everywhere. She was very scared. And then I got the intel that it was a shooter. So I had to try to calm her down in traffic that, you know, everything's fine. You know, the police were there. And I just couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God, as much fear as I had, that I'm just glad it didn't happen when AJ was walking around and our family today, you know, being around that area. I'm just so grateful of how amazing Brantford responded. They did such an amazing job. I heard they took the kid off his bike and rushed him to safety.
Yeah.
And all the local team, you know, rescue came, New Haven and surrounding areas. So it was really amazing to see the response. It was very quick.
It's so bizarre that nothing ever happens in Brantford. And AJ literally missed that by 24 hours.
Right.
That he would have been walking down Main Street in a giant inflated dinosaur costume.
Right.
Right around 12:20-ish, right after, right around that time.
Yep.
Right around that street.
Exactly. So.
Right near it. Yeah, that's the first thing I thought. I was like, oh, thank you, God. You just never know with these people when they're unstable like that, you know, they target. But I'm so sad for that person to feel so low like that.
Yeah.
That to do something like that, sad. But,
yeah. It could have been, we were like a fraction away from it being just a horrific scene if there were multiple people out in the street at that time.
Yes, luckily it didn't seem like there was many people out at that time, so that was good. Yeah,
well,
and
Carol,
it's like full week too, you know, everybody's on vacation.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing your story with us. And next week, AJ's going to go out and do the dinosaur walk, and we'll get with Seth. And
promise.
We're going to have a nice time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We look forward to it, AJ.
Oh, same here.
All right, Carol, thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for, you know, doing this for our family and taking the time. It's really amazing. We're very, very, very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you.
And to all the donors, of course, we're very, very grateful.
Big hearts.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Always come to the rescue.
Always.
Thank you, Carol.
Take care, guys.
Okay.
Bye.
Kim from Make-A-Wish. Boy, that was fast, huh?
I can't even believe it. How quickly that jumped.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I do this for a living, and $10,000 isn't easy to get to in 24 hours. So just amazing.
We didn't even have to put AJ in that costume.
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
We will anyway, but.
Well, we will. Because we
gotta
want
pay for
to.
It. Yeah, now I got to do it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the problem is Seth's looking forward to it. So
absolutely.
Right.
We have to do it.
Can't let him down, AJ.
No, I will not.
Yeah.
So thank you so much. I can't wait to take this back to the team at Make-A-Wish, and I know they're going to start working very fast and start building Seth's wish for him.
That'll be another great moment there when the RV leaves the house and drives out of Brantford on the whole family's in the... I have a feeling a funny shot will be when the RV comes back and the door opens and you see the grandparents like, I just spent like a month with these kids. Just
first
kidding.
One, first
sure
one's out.
It'll be great.
No, they'll have happy.
But we'll take all the pictures before they leave.
You see my face pressed against the glass.
What's wrong with that fellow?
They're just always around.
No, it's great. And we will definitely keep you updated on the status of the wish and different things they're going to do, and love to fill you in when they get back.
This is great. Kim, thanks for what you do. Thanks for letting us be part of it, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you.
Thank you so
much.
Kim with Connecticut Make-A-Wish.
Oh boy, it's time for Dumbass News.
Okie dokie, here we go.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News. Dumbass.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. When you see a dumbass in the news, send it to dumbassnews@chazandajinthemorning.com. Is he now or is it Monday?
I was told as soon as possible.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, I think once you, you know, put us over the top by making a $3,600 donation, we'll bump you up a couple days.
Exactly. Sure. Right. That's how we work.
Nick and Nick's Roofing sponsors Dumbass News now. We're very proud to have that.
Yay.
Nick and Nick.
Jennifer's known Nick since he was a young man, just starting a roofing business with one truck.
Wow.
And just himself and working around the clock and not taking any time off and not taking vacations and building the business up. And I was talking to him last week, and he's just a tremendous guy. And then he comes in and puts us over the top today.
Exactly.
With the Make-A-Wish for Seth. So,
thank you, Nick.
Nick, thank you. We're so proud to have you. And could you pick a better bit? Dumbass News.
Seriously.
Really?
Yeah. Nick, thank you. Nick, you got to step up.
It's our wheelhouse.
I'm going to thank Nick and Nick.
Nick and Nick.
Both yeah. Nicks.
Yeah. Nick.
Both
and Nick.
And thank Nick. Thank you, Nick and Nick.
Thank you, Nick
There's
and Nick.
No Nick.
No.
No Nick.
No Nick.
Nick and Nick.
No Nick.
No Nick.
No Nick.
Nick and Nick Roofing.
Thank you.
They will get it done for you. Okay. Man jumps into zoo's elephant enclosure to impress his daughter.
Great.
Not a dumbass.
All right. This happened in Milwaukee, and let's go to Tim Wild. His name is Wild, and he is the Milwaukee County Zoo guy.
They're extremely dangerous, mostly just because of their size. Even the ones that have kind of more of an even temperament can hurt you without even knowing it or thinking about it, just because they're so strong and so big.
Yeah. Elephants are big. This
big.
Just in.
I know. What?
Thank you, Tim.
Guy. Well, he had to say something, right?
But his last name is Wild.
As
Isn't that Wild?
That's Wild, yes.
His name is Wild, and he works at the zoo.
Right.
That's great.
Like it's meant to be.
Wild stuff.
Just Mr. Peanut, the elephant eat him.
What's that?
It was Mr. Peanut, the elephant would eat him.
Right.
You like peanuts?
Right. Well. Did the guy live? We don't know.
Yeah, he's fine.
He's fine?
Yeah.
Damn it.
This is the second elephant dumbass we've talked about just this year already.
Yeah, yeah. Some other guy did
recently.
That too, yeah.
Yeah, he dropped his daughter.
Yeah, he
saved himself.
He jumps in with his daughter, takes a selfie, and the elephant starts charging him. He starts running, drops the daughter, jumps through the fence.
Right.
And he's like, I should probably get her.
Gotta go back.
Gotta go back now.
Right. Whoops.
What is the fatuation with this?
Why have to go inside?
Yeah.
Just stand outside.
With everybody else.
The elephant's big enough.
Yeah,
you'll see him in the photo.
AJ, great point. It's not a tiny animal.
Yeah.
You don't need to get much closer.
It's not a tropical bird.
But no one's breaking into those enclosures. No one's breaking in to see the birds or the monkeys. They want to see the elephants.
Well, no, the monkeys will throw poop at you. And they'll tear you apart.
No, they'll sit on your shoulder and play with your hair.
No, they will not. They will tear your ear off.
They'll play with your hair if you got bugs in it they could eat.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that if you run into one of these elephant enclosures, your fee or fine should be they grab you, they put you in the monkey enclosure, and just leave a bunch of wooden mallets for the monkeys.
Right. Yes, the monkey gauntlet. Exactly.
You're going to sound like a monkey yourself.
And then they throw feces at you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, they cover you in like banana pudding and throw you in the monkey enclosure.
Right. I've never been to a zoo and thought, I want to go in that elephant enclosure.
Yeah, no, I stand far and go, ooh, it's kind of stinky.
Another good point.
Yes.
Yeah. You don't need to get closer.
No, you do not.
Elephant
no, you can smell from here.
Pretty dramatic.
And pretty damn huge. Cover man.
They just seem so nice for something that's so big. They're not, you know, can you imagine if they had the disposition of a tiger?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like they just go after everything they see.
Extremely defensive and territorial. Yeah.
I love elephants.
Yeah.
They're so just, smart.
You know what? Big teddy bear.
Yeah.
But not a bear, but an elephant.
They're very gentle.
And less fuzzy, but
they don't know their own strength. Well, they're like a big patch of elbow skin. Yeah.
Yeah, it is weird.
Yeah.
That skin.
Yep.
It is, right. It's like someone took your elbow skin and put it all over an elephant.
Right. Just thinking I haven't put like lotion on for a couple of days. Yep.
They play practical jokes apparently too.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Like what?
Like if you're going to take a picture, they'll steal your hat.
Oh, yeah,
as the picture's taken.
This is true, yeah.
Then they'll put it in their mouth and go to like fake put your hat back and there's nothing there.
Right.
Wow.
It's like they ate my hat and then they bring it back.
Right. They do the same thing in your wallet too.
They're magicians. Right. And
only when they
smart.
Get the wallet back, $20 is missing.
Right. While you're worried about your hat, the other elephant is taking the wallet and the purse.
Exactly, right. Where'd my car keys go?
That is a little weird thing they could do with their nose. It's almost like a hand.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well trained at it too.
And they never forget. Very smart.
Does anyone really know? Have we really quizzed them?
Yeah, seriously.
Really?
Yeah.
Ashley, and they can fly when they flap their ears.
Ah.
Right.
They can also paint pictures.
Right.
With their trunk.
Yeah, one person says, an elephant never forgets. I think I haven't seen that thing in like 20 years. I think it remembers me.
Yeah.
And then you say, elephant never forgets. So now we all walk around, elephant never forgets. Well, have we ever studied it? Nah, I don't know. Maybe.
The elephant's like, who are you again?
You know how they get those elephants? You ever see an elephant like at a circus or at a zoo or something?
Yeah, I pet one. Yeah.
Were you the one that snuck into the enclosure?
No. Like we were at a circus one time and I got to pet the elephant. Yeah.
Oh, how old were you?
We were doing a show together. That was, we got to do the clown for the day. Marie Mouth was there.
Circus on Long Island.
Yeah, Marie Mouth, yeah.
That's right.
Yep.
Good thing you weren't Mr. Peanut. It would have eaten you.
That would be funny if they dressed him as Mr. Peanut,
right,
and the thing tried to eat him.
Right,
it grabs him and just starts smashing him on the ground to open the peanut.
Right,
and the bit comes full circle.
No, but you know what they do? Because if you see them at a zoo or a circus or whatever, they're on this small rope with this tiny little stake in the ground.
Yeah,
and they will not pull that out because when they're babies, they chain these things up with big chains,
right,
and they try to pull themselves out. They right. do everything to pull. And then once they realize they can't get out, they give up.
Yeah.
And then now that little rope and a little stake will keep that elephant from moving anywhere because it's been conditioned to think that.
Aww.
And I just brought the house down. Sad.
Well, just think of AJ dressed as a peanut.
Now let's think of the elephant.
I want to see the elephant. With it, trying to open up that giant peanut.
Actually, a funnier thing is seeing like the elephant grab Phil by his legs. That's going smash, 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 smash.
Elephants are too nice for that.
When they see a mouse, they'll use anything to try and squash it. Yeah, this broom will do.
Yeah, why do I visualize a cartoon image of an elephant in a dress holding its dress up
right.
while it saw a mouse?
Right.
It's like, yeah, there's a cartoon right. somewhere.
Like AJ's kindergarten teacher.
That's right.
Looking at my dress. Looking at my dress.
Well, right now we are going to be checking in with AJ, who would have been in a dinosaur costume walking through Brantford. But, you know, we had some craziness there yesterday.
Yes.
So we'll have you there next week.
Yep.
Walking through Brantford.
You'll make it.
And here's the good news. We went over the goal, $10,000 yep. for Make-A-Wish to get Seth his dream.
Awesome.
So we just so many people to thank. Thank you all for donating.
Thank you.
Thanks to Premier Subaru in Brantford.
Thank you.
And thanks to Briggs Tire in Norwalk. And Justin, the manager, is on the phone now. Hey, Justin.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
You're the manager and the owner.
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for getting behind us on this one. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Glad I could help.
You know, AJ goes through a lot of tires.
I do. Mostly rear tires. I don't know why.
Yeah. He just needs back tires.
Just rear tires.
Yeah.
You know, the clutch keeps slipping.
Come on down. We'll get you set up.
Nice.
So this is a third generation business. You've been in business since 1946?
Yes.
What kind of tires were there in 1946?
I don't know. I was not born around then.
I gotcha.
Your bias ply, the flat kind, non-radial. Yeah. Yep.
I think they made about three sizes, and that was about it.
They did.
Yep. They were made of rock.
Right. And they had large white walls or black walls.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, that was a thing back. It was just like the 70s and 80s where we perfected these tires where we're not changing flats every month.
Exactly. Yes.
Exactly, and you know, stuff's starting to last longer now too. I mean, there's tires out there with 80,000 miles warranty and stuff.
Right,
it's crazy.
80,000 miles.
Right. Woo! Did you get the run flat tires? The run flat tires are pretty wild.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
High tech.
Yeah.
Of course, I managed to find.
They've come a long way.
I managed to find every nail and screw in the roadway.
AJ, that truck that you have.
Yes.
Those tires.
They're huge. That's why they pick up everything.
35-inch. No, those are fine. Thank you.
Tell Justin how big they are. Let's see if he can give you a price.
They're 35-inch. They're Nittos.
What are you, the trail grapplers?
Yep.
I run trail grapplers on my Jeep, but I have 40-inch.
Wow, nice. See? Are you kidding?
See, I have tire
envy. On a Jeep? I have tire envy now. That's how it should be.
On a
Jeep.
Hey,
you guys should come down and check it out.
Yeah.
Damn.
See?
On a Jeep.
Yep, that'll run a Volkswagen Bug right over.
Hey, what are you pretty saying, much, AJ?
Yeah. Nothing. Just saying.
Wow. That's incredible.
What was that? I don't know. Felt a little ba-boom. Whoops.
They're like truck tires. Those are the tires I would throw in the water and float around on.
Yeah. Exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
They hum a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful sound, isn't it, though?
It is.
Yep. You have to crank the stereo higher so you can hear.
You know what I love about a tire store is the smell of rubber when you walk in.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great smell.
That new rubber smell.
Yeah.
Tires, I mean, you know.
So.
Make that a scented candle.
Right.
Ooh, tires.
I know. Yeah.
Briggs
tires.
We
want the Yankee Candle cheese, grilled cheese, and the Yankee Candle brand new tire smell.
Perfect.
There was a burnout smell before, like, you know, burning rubber smell.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Well, burning rubber in a candle doesn't seem hard.
No one said it was a science behind it. I'm just saying.
I'm just teasing you, brother. Naive.
Yeah. So, Justin, thank you very much for getting behind us and helping us with this. Actually, not getting behind us, getting in front of us and helping with this Make-A-Wish for Seth. Did you hear any of that story? Pretty compelling.
Yes, yeah, great story. Glad to be in front of it, like you said. I appreciate the phone call today.
No, thank you.
And I want to see that Jeep.
Yeah, come on down.
I will.
He's going to need tires in 5 minutes.
He's leaving right now.
I'll be the guy with the 35-inch tires.
He suddenly has a whole day open to him.
Right. That's right.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, Justin. Appreciate
it. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Have a good one, guys.
You too, man. Thank you.
Take it easy.
Justin is the manager and the owner of Briggs Tire, supporting sponsor, and he... He's in Norwalk and third generation.
Yeah.
That's cool. Family business.
I like his answers. You know, what were the tires like back then? I don't know. I wasn't born yet.
Hey, it shows honesty. He's not going to be his way through it.
They're not around now. I don't have to know about them.
AJ would have been a 300-word answer.
Yes, I would.
And we would have gotten the same
to the same
information.
Point.
Yeah.
It's like you know me or something.